No matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time on this December 21st, 2015. I'm David Brown. It's really great to have you with us. Looking through the news this morning, thinking back to the many stories that have led the big broadcast in this inaugural year. From the Sandra Bland story, guns on campus, plummeting oil prices, Planned Parenthood, same-sex marriage, Texas factor in the White House race. We could go on and on. If there were a top story of 2015, as chosen by you, Texas Standard listeners, what would it be? What would you consider to be the number one story of this year? Not your favorite story, the one that's had the biggest impact over the past year. What would it be? We're doing this in real time, and as our longtime listeners know, we do read your messages while we're on the air. So please take a moment, consider what's the top story of 2015, and tweet us with your headline at Texas Standard, or cast your vote on Facebook. We're going to keep a running tally here starting now. And our social media editor, Wells Dunbar, will be joining us in just a few minutes with more of the talk of Texas. Wall Street Journal reporting that oil has fallen to its lowest level since 2004, got a global surplus already, and as producers keep producing, the prices keep, you guessed it, falling. Strong dollar doesn't help much on that score either. In 2015, the benchmark West Texas Intermediate lost more than 35%, one of the parlor games among analysts this holiday season, predicting how low it'll go in 2016. Goldman Sachs thinks $20 a barrel will be a thing. Others say if the price falls another $1.50, we may see a mini rally heading into the new year as hedge fund managers begin to bargain hunt. In the meantime, the GM factory in Arlington can't churn out enough of the company's biggest SUVs, and 2015 looks to be the biggest ever for U.S. automakers. Overall, the price of a gallon of regular nationwide now below the $2 mark for the first time since 2009. The next military conflict might not start with a bang, but with a blackout. Army Times reporting that Texas will be home to at least two new cybersecurity squadrons, one an Army Guard team, the other an Air Force operation, part of a larger effort expected to be in place by 2019, which, I don't know, may not be soon enough. National security experts have long been warning that the United States infrastructure is vulnerable to foreign hackers. But according to a new investigation by the Associated Press out to this morning, there have been several instances unreported until now. Joining us is Garance Burke, a San Francisco-based reporter for the AP who's been following this story. Ms. Burke, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
We hear about data theft, of course, but when it comes to attacks on the infrastructure, it's usually talked about as kind of hypothetical or theoretical, but you found at least, what, a dozen instances?
Yes, and to be clear, you know, these are instances in which sophisticated foreign hackers gained enough remote access to control the operations networks that keep the grid running. So it's not that they actually shut off the lights in all of those instances, but the mere fact that they were able to worm their way into the operations networks was certainly of concern to the people with whom we spoke.
I want to understand something. Are we talking about individuals, or are we talking about actual state actors?
Well, attribution is really notoriously tricky. So in some cases, private firms have alleged that these were Chinese hackers who had some affiliation with the Chinese government, for instance. Same goes for Russian hackers. The instance that we found involved hackers based in Iran who had gained access to some very sensitive engineers' drawings of power plants across the country. But no one was really able to tell us whether there was a clear tie or not to the Islamic Republic of Iran.
That's interesting, though. You think about Iran, the Stuxnet operation, which infiltrated and sabotaged Iran's nuclear program several years ago. That was long considered a U.S.-Israeli effort, although neither party ever confirmed that. But it does make you wonder, if you're talking about Iran here, if Iran has the capability or the ability to attack the U.S. infrastructure, even if the next generation wars, we haven't seen a cascading blackout or anything, you sort of wonder if they're not already being waged in a sense.
Right. Of course, this does come, you know, in the context of Stuxnet and all of the, you know, geopolitical concerns that flowed from that. We do know that in the instance we uncovered in which Iran-based hackers gained access to these very, very sensitive drawings for power plants across the country, that FBI thought it was sufficiently concerning to put out an unclassified bulletin last year warning the energy industry that a group using Iran-based IP addresses had targeted the energy industry in the
U.S. So, but what can one do once you know that they have already been able to gain access? How do you raise the gates and bar further entry? Or once they're in, are they in?
Well, these particular drawings, of which we obtained copies, were so detailed that experts told us that skilled attackers could have used them along with other tools and malicious code to knock out electricity flowing to millions of homes. And we spoke with Calpine Corporation, the Texas-based corporation who experienced this theft of their information, and they would not share with us what they had done in order to shore up their systems against the threat. They said that the drawings were old and presented no danger, but other outside experts with whom we spoke disagreed.
Obviously, it's a story that we're going to continue to watch as it develops. Garance Burke is a San Francisco-based reporter for the Associated Press. Stories making headlines across the nation today. AP investigation on the U.S. power grid vulnerable to foreign hacks. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.